I mean, that sounds like football to me. You're going to have football on your televisions tonight. And one Aronde Gadsden the second will be out there for the Chargers. I know I texted with Aronde Senior this morning. He was had just landed in Cleveland. The game, of course, is in Canton. And Aronde Senior, very excited. Aronde Gadsden the second will take the field tonight with the Chargers for his NFL debut. So something to watch for us here in South Florida, fans of the show, obviously, because Aronde and his son have been a part of this show for many, many, many years. I unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, will not be able to watch it tonight. I'm going to see David Lee Roth at Hard Rock Live.
Skilly wop
Talking about it with Dan Day before the show, because DLR is not the same DLR from the 80s, but I've got to see him. Here comes Channing Crowder barreling in on a Hall of Fame game Thursday night. Getting ready to watch a little Aronde Gadsden the second tonight on TV, and
Tell you the truth,
things are happening.
I was asleep.
You fell asleep and just slept during the start of the show? I mean, you only missed a minute.
Man, I missed a minute, but like I went, I had to get up this morning, take little Chan to a doc's appointment. Then I had to go back and schedule some X-rays, some bone age X-rays, all the stuff we have to do as fathers. And I came home and I'm like, I'm gonna lay down and watch some ESPN. And I was damn asleep. I'm getting old, man. This is
That's an old
ridiculous.
man thing. That's literally an old man thing. If you fall
Asia came in.
asleep in front of the TV and like don't even have any recollection of where you're supposed to be and what time it is, that's old man stuff.
I have to be. Asia came and woke me up. She was like, "Hey, it's 2 o'clock," and I was like, "Oh, damn!" And I ran out like I was asleep.
I mean, Dan Day sometimes works till 3, 4 in the morning, and then he's there at 6 a.m.
I'm not even playing. I got home at 2 a.m. last night. I got up for Joe Rose show at 4 a.m. and I've been working since.
Unbelievable.
Dan, you are a great man. Like
Proud of.
I almost feel like it's almost like I had to have a confession right now. I feel crazy. I was asleep.
Crowder, you're an old man. Is that a Nationals hat or a Washington Senators hat you're wearing?
I think it's a
I don't know.
Walgreens
I
hat.
grabbed a red hat because my shirt is white and red. And I don't even know what this hat is. I was just, this is crazy.
A Walgreens hat for all the prescriptions he's taking. You know, you get older, you take the statins, you take you start taking all the. Anyway, you do have the Hall of Fame game tonight. Aronde Gadsden the second. I will be at David Lee Roth tonight at Hard Rock Live. Listen, especially with what happened with Ozzy Osbourne a week ago, like I want to see some of my rock heroes. David Lee Roth is 70 years old, and I want to see some of my rock heroes before it's too late for them or me. So I'm going to see David Lee Roth tonight.
Who was that robotic man you went and saw recently?
Who did I see that was robotic?
I don't know. It was like viral. He didn't even know the words, and they were holding him, helping him off
Oh, you're
stage.
thinking of Frankie Valli. He's 91.
Okay. Go see Frankie Valli, Hawk,
That
because I
is a concert I have to see. He was supposed to come to Hard Rock and they canceled it. I can't
Okay.
imagine why. But no, he literally is an animatronic at this point. It's
Go see him.
unbelievable. It's crazy. Yeah, Frankie Valli. Frankie
Oh,
Valli, if
man.
you get a chance. Canes are underway today. They got practice. They had media day yesterday. We're going to talk Canes today. Don Bailey Jr. is going to join us. Alex Dono is going to join us. So we will talk plenty of Canes today. DBJ in the 2 o'clock hour, Dono in the 4 o'clock hour. Clay Ferrero is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. And we can talk some Miami Dolphins with him and maybe some Miami Marlins. I'm watching MLB Network right now. You've got the trade deadline. They've got a little ticker up there. Trade deadline, 3 hours and 52 minutes away. Nothing yet on any of the Marlins. Although I did see, let me find this tweet from John Morosi from MLB Network. He tweeted out about 1 this afternoon. The Marlins and Yankees have had dialogue about either Sandy Alcantara or Edward Cabrera going to the Bronx. The Marlins have asked for Spencer Jones. He's hitting 1.115 OPS in the minors this season, as John Morosi tweets, as different concepts have been discussed. So Maybe you'll see Sandy on the move before 6 o'clock today. Maybe Cabrera on the move before 6 o'clock today. Maybe neither. I don't know, but we'll keep an eye on it. I'll keep an eye on MLB Network here and see if anything transpires.
It's ironic. The Yankees saw what the Marlins did last year and said, that's what we want. And they're going to get all of our players. Okay.
Let's bring Jazz. Let's bring Sandy.
We talked to Kyle Seeloff yesterday, and he made a great point. It's like the Marlins aren't panicking at any point. They're overachieving already. So, like, there's no panic to push. And then Sandy's $17 million as an ace is one of the lowest number one pitchers in the league. Like, they can be buyers, but there's no panic to move anything that they do, which makes sense because he's 17. The next guy's 4. So Cabrera, Sandy, yeah, if we get the right deal, but he was kind of saying that Bennix is in the driver's seat on every deal that they're a part of.
I agree with that because they have overachieved. But here's the thing. They're so low in their expenditure anyway that if they move Sandy, it's even more glaring, I think. But if they got the right haul, I could completely understand it. But if they don't, they can wait till the offseason or they can wait till next year's trade deadline. Same thing with Cabrera. They're in no rush. They're not going to be buyers. If they don't do anything at the trade deadline, then they can say, hey, we're making a nice little run. I mean, they won again last night. They won the series. They won a bunch of series in a row. I they can say, hey, we're going to roll the dice this season and see what we can put together. So they really are in the driver's seat. If they move on from Sandy or Cabrera or anyone else, you understand it because they've been pretty clear of what their strategy is. And if they don't move on, you go, wow, well, maybe we'll get another half season of cool baseball here. More surprising season than any of us thought it was going to be. So whatever happens, happens. I'm ready for anything. My gut is telling me Sandy's on the move today. My gut is telling me while the Marlins can afford to wait a team, whether it's the Yankees or someone else, if they've got their sights set on him, they're going to go get him. Yeah. And I think there are enough suitors for Sandy. So we'll see, though. Reporters have been raving. I've been off the last 3 days, but I've been, you know, following social media. And the reporters are raving about Tua since Dolphins practice had gotten underway and up until yesterday. And I saw Omar Kelly tweet out yesterday, since you asked, here are the top 5 training camp performers. And his number one is Tua. Everyone's pointing out in however many practices, 7 or 8, he has 0 interceptions. Number 2, according to Omar, is Jalen Waddle. And he writes in parentheses, the new top dog. Interesting, if that's true. Number 3, according to Omar, Chop Robinson. Vicious first step, he says. Number 4, Jordan Brooks. He's showing off instincts. I don't know what you've seen from Jordan Brooks, Crowder, but Omar has him as the top 4 practice performer. And number 5, Willie Gay Jr. I've seen a lot of tweets about how good he looks out there. So all I would say is, and we can talk today with Clay about the Dolphins, I just feel like people are sleeping on this team. And I know, I know Cader Kohu is out for the season. I know the secondary is certainly some cause for alarm, but I also think this team is pretty well loaded in a lot of other areas. And I'm feeling some unreasonable, maybe exuberance about that team. And I happen to be feeling a little unreasonable exuberance about the Hurricanes as well. We'll talk with Don Bailey Jr. But you know, Carson Beck, all the reporters that are out there are talking about Carson Beck looking good. John Michaels keeps telling us, Carson Beck, don't sleep on this dude. Like, he's a legit top-tier quarterback in college football. So, I don't know. I'm feeling a little excited about both our football teams as football season gets underway.
Oh, let me go back to Omar Kelly's performers. If you go to Buffalo, I guarantee they say Josh Allen looks good. You go to Baltimore, Lamar Jackson looks good. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes looks good. So that is just – that is a thing. If you have a top quarterback, he's going to look good because guess what? He's one of the best football players in the world. Jalen Waddle is the one that I've criticized a number of times on this show. You give him a big deal. He's the number two guaranteed behind Tyreek Hill. So if Jalen can step up and take, like you say, parentheses, the number one role, you might can move Tyreek Hill at his older age and make him really that guy. And that's what I would say the hope would be that.
Yeah, I'm sure Jalen's been waiting for that since he got drafted, since they got Tyreek.
Who doesn't want to be the guy? Who wants to just, oh, no problem. There you go. You got it, big dog. No. And you just got, y'all making the same money now. They're both $30 million receivers. And we talked about this earlier this week, Hawk. Brooks and Willie Gay, I have to see them play. I saw Brooks. I've never seen Willie Gay play a snap of football in my life. I got to be honest. If that second level can be as dominant as Sealer and Grant, the young boy from Michigan we just drafted, and Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb and Chop Robinson up there, we might have a hell of a front seven. And we need a hell of a front seven because
then you don't have to worry as much.
Because Little Chan just got a call to play corner for the Dolphins. So we need that front seven to be extremely solid because we're going to have to patchwork this defensive secondary together for I would say, the entire season, Hawk.
Today is National Avocado Day.
Oh, love avocado.
I am the world's greatest avocado toast fan. I eat it at least four times a week. Had a delicious avocado toast yesterday at a little place in Boca called Long Story Short. I love it there because they slice, you know, a lot of people do avocado toast and it's mashed. They slice avocados. They slice it.
So it's still in avocado form.
Yes. Avocado is a superfood. I don't know if you knew.
I eat the hell out of avocado. My dad used to, you know, he was a big guacamole fan.
He was the biggest Haas avocado fan in the world.
Got to get the Haas, Chan, the big ones.
He's telling that to Ozzy Osbourne right now.
Yeah. And you know what? I had an argument with somebody. I guarantee there's wine in heaven because Jesus turned water into wine. How do we know what wine was?
Limitless water now. Limitless wine.
Limitless wine in heaven. Brandy's having a ball up there.
Tell you what, if they've got Haas avocado up there and some wine.
Cookout every day.
Time of his life. Yeah, so today's National Avocado Day, one of my favorite foods on the planet. So, like I said on the program today, we'll talk some hurricanes. DB, we are 1 month away. It is exactly 1 month until the Hurricanes take the field against Notre Dame. And Don Bailey Jr. will join us this hour. Alex Dono out at Canes practice today for Locked On Canes. He'll join us in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Dolphins today as well. And again, I'm keeping my eye on MLB Network, see if anything happens here at the trade deadline. 3 hours and 42 minutes to go. Headlines with Dan Day brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Wish they all could be California girls. That might be what it sounds like.
I don't think he does that. He does his solo stuff on this tour. Now, remember, David Lee Roth hasn't toured in 5 years. And when he did tour 5 years ago, it was an absolute unmitigated disaster. They canceled it about 2.5 weeks in because he didn't know what he was doing out there. But I don't think he does his solo stuff. I think because I happen to like some of his solo stuff, just like Paradise and stuff, like not necessarily California Girls or Just a Gigolo, but like he had some good rockers. I think he's only doing Van Halen stuff, like early Van Halen stuff. I know he opens the show with Panama and closes it with Jump. One of my all-time favorite songs, Running with the Devil. I know he did. Like, I think this might be the first tour date. He did that like warm-up show a couple months ago in California at a festival, which is what I watched on YouTube, and I was like, this is such a train wreck. I've got to go see it. And so that's why I'm going tonight. I'm
buckle up, because I saw the reunion tour with Van Halen about 12 years ago, and I thought he was going to die on stage.
And that was over a decade ago.
Jump. You might as well jump. Mm-hmm. That's the song?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Van Halen's got a million hits with David Lee Roth, but we'll see how he's able to pull it off tonight. I'm rooting for him.
Either way, you're gonna be satisfied.
And the California girl is outdated because there are some better cities with women at this point in life.
I don't know,
that's
man.
Debatable.
No,
that's debatable. California,
man,
girl.
Them little thin Ozempics out there. I don't want no Ozempic. I want somebody with some pieces and parts.
That's where every single one of Jimmy's OnlyFans subscriptions are based. They are all California based.
And they act funny out there. Everybody's an expiring actress. How about you just work at Walgreens? How about that? Everybody can't be Jodie Foster. Like, just take it easy, lady.
Just bring them an avocado toast. Come on, let's go.
I love avocado toast. I just love it.
I make it at home all the time. I know you're not a home avocado toast eater. You're out and about.
I love my happy place is sitting out somewhere at a cafe having a coffee. Like yesterday, the hottest day, and I'm like, yeah, I'll have a latte. And then I'm like, a hot one. And they're like, oh, not iced? And I said, how many people have ordered a hot coffee today? Because I was there, must have been about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And they were like, maybe one, maybe two today. Hot coffee for me. I don't care how hot it is. That's man stuff right there. You want a coffee? Yeah. Drink your damn coffee.
Yeah. Sure.
Slap your chest.
Give me that coffee.
Extra cream, extra sugar. Come on, hurry up.
Make it taste a lot like coffee. But that's my happy place. I love sitting out, eating avocado toast, having a latte, cappuccino, something like that. Oh, makes me so happy. Mm.
Speaking of man, Jesus Sanchez was a man last night, hit 2-run home run, and that was all the Marlins needed as they blanked the Cardinals for the second straight night, 2-0. The Yankees are coming to town tomorrow at 7.
I needed a Kyle Stowers hit to get my my parlay. I had PCA in the afternoon. He got three hits. I just needed one, and I needed one Stowers hit. Couldn't get it. And then, I don't know if Appel told you, so two nights ago on Ambien, did he tell you this story about table tennis?
No, he didn't.
So about two nights ago on Ambien, it's about 2 a.m. Oh, I texted it to you.
Yes, you were killing it.
I decided that I'm going to go on the Hard Rock app. The way when I was in New Jersey and I could play roulette at home, I was like, you know what? So they don't have roulette here in Florida, but they do have table tennis. And the games go off every 5 minutes, and it's in Chechnya, so you know it's fair. And so... So I log on and this is under the haze of Ambien. And I go, I am going to, they stream right there on the app every table tennis match. So you have to win 3 sets out of 5. So I had this strategy. When someone goes up 2 sets or is about to go up 2 sets, I'll live bet them to win the match. Now, I'm live betting, though, at like minus 400, minus 500. These matches are super quick, and you get to watch them. And so I'm like, okay, this will satiate a little gambling Jones. And so I'm betting like $400 to win 50. I'm sorry. I'm betting like $200 to win $50. Yep. $200 to win $35. And I'm hitting them. I'm texting you these green numbers.
Four back-to-back?
Four back-to-back. I think I went 9 for 9. I couldn't go to sleep. Lori's like, Lee, I'm moving rooms. Because it was like 3 a.m. I go, when are you ever on a heater like this? I'm like, I've hacked the system. I figured it out. And I'm watching these guys. I know how they play now. Like this Radlow, he's a come-from-behind table tennis player. So I'm hitting him over the head. Last night, I decide to do it again. I'm going to replicate it. Here's where I made my mistake. I was too awake. I didn't wait for the Ambien to set in because I was so excited to do this again. I thought I had figured out like an ATM.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I used the same strategy. But I lost about $800 in table tennis in the course of like the Jimmy Kimmel show. Like I just, it was too early. But man, that two nights ago, I was on top of the world. I was going to tell Rob Pizzola, no need to have you on anymore because I've got this thing on lock, but I gave it all back last night. Just couldn't. But I, man, yesterday, the day, 2 days ago when I hit it, I did my PCA Kyle Stowers parlay. I do it just about every day because Pete Crow, Armstrong, and Kyle Stowers had a seven-game hitting streak. So he gets his hit. He didn't get one last night. His hitting streak ended. So I do that, and then I start playing my table tennis, and I'm like, I've got a system here, and I don't ever have to go back to work, too. And it all came crashing to an end after one successful night.
You figured it out in 24 hours.
This guy last night, man.
The difference was you weren't on performance-enhancing drugs.
That's exactly it. I went too soon. I've had that problem all my life, too.
And you know what? I'll say, when I play roulette, Hawk, we both play roulette in Vegas. If I wake up 8 a.m. and try to play roulette, I'm terrible at it.
Got to be in the right place, right?
16 hours, a bottle of liquor in. I really know how to play roulette.
Yes, because your inhibitions are less. You don't think it through. That's the biggest mistake in gambling, youngsters. You think it through too much. So this guy last night, Michael Skorsky, kills me. Killed me. Guy had a 2-set lead over Christoph Keitel. Blew a 2-set lead, this jackass. Because the game before, I won. But this is the ridiculousness of what I've been doing on the app. So I had this guy, Michael Kumore, yesterday. I bet $250 to win $38. So I risked. I won. But that's the folly in my system.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to sweat that one out, too. Kumore almost blew this thing. I bet $250 to win $38. I won. But then I laid $150 on Skorsky to probably win another $30 or whatever, and I blew a easy.
That was a story. We talked about a story. This is years ago. What's it, Gino Auriemma at UConn?
Yeah.
Remember, it was that guy that bet 100.
They never lost.
And it was like they were like won 64 games, but it was a guy that bet $100 to win 100, and he got to like 102, then bet 102 to win 107,
right,
and rode out the $100. And he was like, yeah, and then once they lost, he lost it all.
Right, yeah. It's a flawed theory.
It's a very small theory. Like, oh, I'm going with the favorite. I don't know if I go with the favorite 64 times, though. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I nailed it the night before.
I'm glad your son's almost out of college. How many more years he got left?
The final year, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait till I've got no more obligations for educational bills. Wait till the chains come off this guy.
Hold on, DJ.
Wait till the chains come off. There's zero chance this guy's going on for higher education beyond this.
Oh, I'm there. Hawks in a 1-1, Lowry's in the background while he's working. That's going to be ugly.
And we're watching David Lee Roth tonight betting on table tennis.
Real quick, Lionel Messi had a wonder assist in the 96th minute as Inter Miami topped Mexico's Atlas 2-1. Next up in League's Cup play, Necaxa will be in town Saturday at 7.
I'm going, I'm leaving tomorrow for Atlanta. Going to see my team, AFC Bournemouth. A little Premier League action in Atlanta on Sunday. Check out the varsity. Excited.
Did you decide to go to Magic City?
No, we have reservations Friday and Saturday night at two different restaurants that Jim from AMC Bournemouth has put together. The only one I can recall, it's a place called Bones. I think it's in Buckhead.
Yeah, that's nice. That's all in the same. Varsity's right there. Bones might be 10 minutes away. Magic City, Hawk, you're in the depths.
See how I do with table tennis tonight.
Goodness gracious. Barry, Get this man to Magic City.
Well, what do you think Barry would do at Magic City?
I know what Barry's going to do at Magic City. Enjoy himself.
He's going to be talking about getting the rub, but he's talking about the chicken wings.
Boy, y'all going to miss that early game. I don't know if they have one, but. Have you seen Barry? Who?
Like the movie Life. He comes downstairs. He's like, she needed some money, man, but it's real. This is real.
Oh, mom's having a tough time, huh? Yeah.
All right, we're running late. Wrap up headlines, Zan, because I won't have enough time with DBJ.
Yeah, just real quick, weather. It is hot in the mid to low 90s. At night, it dropped down to around 80. That's weather.
Hot stuff for real. All right, Don Bailey Jr. going to talk some Miami Hurricanes with us in the next segment. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
If you're going to Rolling Loud tonight, make sure you drink a little hot cocoa before you go because it's chilly out. Don Bailey Jr. is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's the radio analyst for the Miami Hurricanes Radio Network. He will be on the call exactly 1 month from today for Canes and Notre Dame at Hard Rock Stadium, kicking off the Canes 2025-2026 football campaign. DBJ is with us. Hello, DBJ.
How you doing, buddy?
We're good, man. Canes had practice today. They had media day yesterday. The season's here. You got preseason NFL football tonight. Are you what's your realistic expectations 1 month out from hurricane season? What's your realistic expectations?
Can you give me another week? I only saw Carson Beck today for the first time.
How did he look? How did he look?
Good as advertised. I think he's going to be outstanding. I really do. He comes with a lot of experience, and he does everything he's asked to do. And the main thing I noticed today is that he stepped right in. He looked comfortable, made every throw that was presented to him, and he did a phenomenal job as far as running, having command of the offense at this early stage. And you got to remember, today was day one for him as a Hurricane, and I think that's a big deal.
And DBJ, is the O-line, they're not hitting yet, but is it going to be a strength of the team? Because I would say we've talked for years now. You come on the show all the time. We're always worried about your old position. Is the O-line going to be a strength this year?
I think it absolutely will be a strength. I mean, especially the right-hand side. They've got Maui Noah, who came out of IMG as a five-star kid, and the first day that he walked on campus, he was starting at right tackle. And then a bit of a project was Inez Cooper, who's going into his fourth year and has started every game started some games as a freshman and every game the last 2 years. And he came in as almost a 400-pound guy, and he's down into the 330s and looks fantastic. I think that there's not going to be a better right side in college football than those two guys are, or I wouldn't take those two guys. I'd take over anybody else in the country. Center position is going to be an upgrade from last year. And there's a battle going on with Rodriguez and McCoy at the left guard spot. But left tackle is solidified as well. And I think it's a strength. I mean, I think they're going to be able to do whatever they want to do. I think they're going to be able to run it when they want to run it. And I think that they'll get, pass protection might even be a little bit easier this year because Cam Ward moved the pocket so much, you really didn't know where he was. Now Carson Beck is going to be right where he's supposed to be as far as the play diagram goes.
You know, when you mentioned Carson Beck, can you get a vibe after just one practice of how much a handle he has on being the team leader? Because I would imagine, I mean, you know, we talk about it with Tua, you know, it's like, okay, when's he going to come out and be the leader? And we saw a lot of it, I think, this training camp. And Cam Ward was just a natural leader. I think you're even seeing it in Tennessee as a rookie. Like, they're looking to him like he's just got those qualities. I'm wondering what you see from Carson Beck. New, like you said, first time with the Hurricanes and first practice. Does he look like the team leader out there?
Well, I tell you how I look at it. You know, Cam came in, and in the spring, you know, he was chirpy. He was getting in everybody's face. He'd get in the defensive face. He'd get in the receiver's face. He was an assertive guy as far as verbal. You know, he really he held nothing back. Carson Beck, well, yesterday during media day, I watched a lot of his interviews, and this guy's got a different kind of approach. You're comparing an apple and an orange as far as personalities go. But this guy has been on two national championship teams. He's 24-3 at the University of Georgia. I mean, he's seen a lot more football than Cam Ward has seen. He's seen a lot tougher conference. He was in a lot tougher conference than Cam Ward. Now, again, I'm going to try not to compare him, but I see why they recruited him at Georgia. I see why he won all those football games at Georgia. And I see why a year ago today, he was in the conversation for a Heisman Trophy. And Cam Ward was he a fourth round pick or fifth round pick coming out? You know, and that's why he came back. So this guy has got a lot more to him than he's let on. And I think it's smart by him to lay low and let his actions speak. And he's doing that. And I think that's important for him to be him, not try and be the next Cam Ward. Make sure you're Carson Beck at his finest.
And DBJ, if you want to call it swag, confidence, whatever that word is, when I was coming out in 02, UM embodied that. Now they're getting back, kind of, you know, they're getting back to national relevance. Mm-hmm. When do you need to see it? Can you see already, or at what point can you say, yeah, this is what Miami should look like? This is what the guys should feel like. Because I came out, man. Vilma, DJ Williams were there. You know, like I walked on to Coral Gables campus, and I was like, okay, this is different than other schools. Will they get back there, and when will you know that?
Well, I don't know. You know, back to the era of when Miami was winning like Miami was, I don't know that anybody's going to get back to that. I mean, you know, the quick look for me is Clemson was 9-3 last year. 9-3 is pretty darn good football season, but it's not for Clemson, who was in a bunch of national championship games and has owned the ACC. You know, Georgia, a lot of people felt that was a disappointing season. Heck, they won back-to-back titles 4 and 3 years ago. So I don't know that level is going to be able to sustain itself. And why, right? NIL is a big part of it. The portal, how you can – you don't know what team you're going to have and what team you're going to build. But Miami is starting to look like what Mario Cristobal wants it to look like. And what does that mean? An offensive line that is bigger and stronger and more athletic than almost anybody that they'll play, no matter if it's in conference or out of conference. So he's going to – the defensive line, you know, you've got – Mezador back at one end, and Bain, who's made a name for himself since the day he stepped on campus. Both those guys are there. And now you're starting to see the guys that have come in as recruited players behind them. They did a good job at the defensive tackle spot, picking up a couple guys that'll help. You know, the question to me is how's the secondary going to hold up? They lost a bunch of guys there. They went out and got some guys. And to me, you know, Channing, when I look at the secondary, it reminds me as far as how that position is played, like the offensive line. You've got to communicate through every single play at every single snap. And it takes a little bit to get to that. You know, the rule is on the offensive line, if you're coming into a season and you got 100 starts in college on your offensive line, you got a pretty darn good offensive line, or you shouldn't have many problems. I don't know what that number is in the secondary, but they've got guys that have started games but not started at Miami. So I think, pointedly, Mario is building the team, and it's looking like he wants it to look. And I can tell you, again, through media day, smart kids going to class, graduating, doing everything that they're supposed to do, and he's got his finger on the program. No, there's nothing that's slipping through, and he's pushing everybody, and I think it's going to pay off. I really do.
And one other thing, quickly. Well, Reuben Bain was – They just announced that he's on the Bronco Nagurski watch list. DBJ, you covered Sapp, you covered Vince, you covered Jerome Brown. Like, you know, the Reuben Bain is built like that, because I haven't seen Warren Sapp at
that
a Reuben
dude
Bain.
Was a monster. Bain was a monster when he was healthy, man.
He can play, but we're talking about the best D lineman in the nation when you talk about Bronco Nagurski.
Right. Let's go backwards, and I understand where you're coming from. When he walked on the scene 2 years ago, there's no question he was the best freshman in the country and was probably one of the top defensive linemen as far as productivity goes, is certainly in the ACC, right? So I don't think anybody's going to argue that. Unfortunately, last year, where he, you know, got dinged up at the Florida game, missed three or four games, and just was never himself. But that defense was not calibrated like you would think it would be. I think Reuben Bain, when I watch him at practice, and it's distorted for me, Channing, because he's going against Maui Noah all day. And you're going against, you know, there's two first-round, or for sure Maui Noah, in my opinion, is going to be a first-round pick. So he's going against as good as there is in college every single day. I think Reuben Bain is going to be an outstanding NFL player. The question is this. Is he stay in the 275, 280 range and go out play outside where he's going to get challenged by guys like on his own team? You know, Markell Bell, 6'9", and has got a wingspan from here to Broward County. Or is he going to get up to 300 or 305 and bounce inside one day, whether it's here or if it's in the National Football League? And when he bounces inside, then he's got a huge athletic advantage to me. That's what I see, but I don't know where he's at in this process. Today he was lined up outside, but I think they're going to move him around. And I think he's a guy that's going to play in the NFL for a long time, and he's a professional already at his sport. I mean, the way that he takes coaching, the way that he works through his techniques, and the way that he always goes against the best player that's lined up against him in practice. He's not dodging trying to get scout team guys. He wants to go against number 61 every single rep.
So the answer is yes, he will win the Bronco Nagurski Award.
I don't know that.
I do.
But you know what happens? And here's why I don't know that. Everybody looks at sack totals. Everybody, that's the first thing a lot. When you start looking at that award, a lot of people look
at
the
only thing I look at.
Sacks, tackles for loss. Right. And, you know, and maybe some fumble recoveries. But I can't tell you that Reuben Bain's going to have 15 sacks. I can tell you if he's got 15 sacks, he's probably going to win that award. But if he has 9 sacks and then Mezador's got 9 sacks and somebody else has got, if the sack total works out better or what they want and it's divided equally, that's what happened in Coach Heatherman's defense at Minnesota. I think, you know, he had 4 guys that produced a lot of sacks for them last year. And as a unit, it came up and hit the number 1. It wasn't an individual. So I don't know. I really don't know. I know this. I'll take Reuben Bain all day, every day.
Yeah, me as well. And I'm excited about Carson Beck too. I am. Again, not expecting him to be Cam Ward, but I'm excited about Carson Beck. You need a quality QB back there. And I think he's that. So DBJ, we are 1 month away. We are formulating a ton of lines for you to work into the broadcast, so I hope you're going to be ready to roll 1 month from today.
It's going to be a big broadcast, isn't it? Miami-Notre Dame, how about that? 30 days, is that the best?
You're not lying, man. You are not lying.
Channing, you going to be there? Are you going to be there? Are you going to be working? Or what are you going to be doing, Channing? You going to be a part of this?
Oh, you know I'm going to be in the stadium. I might be working at Old Cracked. You know, I I have to make some money.
He's got that little restaurant. You know he's not going to miss a big ticket day.
Bro, let me tell you what I know. He's watching that register with both eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, huh?
I check about once a quarter. Hey, DBJ, honestly, I've been talking to some guy. You know, Ryan Clark's son, Jordan Clark, went to Notre Dame last year. So right. I've been talking to guys about Notre Dame. They say Notre Dame is loaded. Even though some names have left, they say Notre Dame is loaded.
I agree. And listen, for my whole life and probably for the rest of my life, there's no reason they shouldn't be. There's no reason they shouldn't be. They can go. You talk about a team that can go nationally and cherry pick and has a following, a historic following. They should be. They should be ashamed of themselves if they do not put together a great season every single year, because there's really no reason for that not to happen.
Household brand. That is a legit household brand. All right. And so you know what else a household brand? Don Bailey Flooring. For all your flooring needs, from laminate to carpet to whatever you might need, right, DBJ?
It's a brand name, baby, for South Florida. And I want to thank
it really is.
I got to thank Channing. Channing threw us a little bone earlier in the year. I appreciate that very much. We went out
to a
room for him at the house. Sure. Listen, that's right.
I'm a proud customer of Don Bailey Flooring and DBJ. I'm about to start doing the kids' rooms, and you know where I'm going and what number I'm calling when I'm about to get the kids' floors done, man. Bro, they put this damn floor in 2 hours. I didn't know. I didn't know how they did it.
Expensive or did you cheap out, Crowder?
No, he did. We both took care of each other, bro. That's what I'll tell you. It was fair for both parties. And let me say this.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
More crab than cake at Don Bailey, baby. More service than not at Don Bailey.
I said, how much? That's just a hookup? He was like, no, that's how much. I was like, damn, appreciate you, brother.
Well, what'd you put on your floors? Like unsanded wood? What'd you do? I know Crowder. Crowder looked for a discount.
Listen, I wanted to put paper towel down, but DBJ talked me out of it.
All right, DBJ. We'll see you. We'll talk to you before then, but 1 month, the broadcast begins, and we're excited.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you. Thanks for having me on. See you later.
There you go. Don Bailey Jr., radio analyst for the Miami Hurricanes. Take a break. Come back with more Hockman, Crowder, and Solana.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Text threads are meant for pictures of Jimmy's hot dog.